KMPL.ca newsroom for this week. Marty Thompson, Charlie O'Connor Clark, and news for the 2021 CPL season, something we've all been waiting for. Charlie and I specifically have. The last couple of weeks have been rough, eh? It's been rough, dude. You got to admit.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, there's light. There's light at the end of the tunnel.
Okay. So the big news on Friday, Commissioner David Klanikin out with a statement. I guess to summarize, there's maybe two or three big points we can get to here, Charlie. Mm-hmm. First off, single site to start the season with the aim of going back into club home stadiums, hopefully with fans, of course, when the COVID-19 pandemic hopefully dies down a little bit in this country. Aiming for a 28-game season, so a full season, you know, by any respect or by, you know, by any measure. And then the start date, mid-June to early July. There you go, Charlie. Mid-June seems a bit early, but, I mean, doesn't matter to me. We just need games, right?
Oh, big time. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I say early as in, like, that's a month away, right? It's June. It's May 14th right now. It's a month away.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely is like you think of the summer being a long time away, but then I look at a calendar and I'm like, oh yeah, time isn't real. Time is just not real. Especially not this year. Anyway.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I think it's great to see some of the kind of the framework that's being worked on. A lot still on the table, definitely decisions to be made based on, mm-hmm. you know, definitely a lot of things that are outside of the CPL's control, that's for sure. But this, you know, single site to start the season, it's really alliterative and hard to say. I think it's definitely something that we all kind of, at least in the back of our minds, could have seen coming.
Definitely
feels like the most prudent way to get these guys back on the pitch as soon as possible, right? And that's, at the end of the day, I think it's what everybody wants. And then once we've got a season rolling and you know, we're back, then hopefully by that time it'll be a lot easier to start thinking about going back to cities around the country and you know, going to stadiums and all that sort of thing, which we also obviously cannot wait to happen, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly. And you're bang on, right? It's about getting things going as soon as possible. We've got, would it be five teams that are training, soon to be six, with Valor kicking off their preseason training, or was mm-hmm. scheduled anyways on Monday. Obviously, the trick with the pandemic, I think from our perspective specifically from CPL Editorial, is things move so quickly, right? And,
oh, yeah.
And this, yeah, it's just, like I said, last couple like months have been probably the worst for us, but now that we have something to talk about, which is great. Anyways, if you couldn't already hear it in my voice, this is probably the best. Yeah, like you said, I wasn't surprised to see a single site either. Like, you know what? With the goal of being able to branch out from that is obviously still on the table. Another thing that David Klanikin mentioned is, you know, the league is still working on, I think it was several locations, creating a couple different options for the single site. So the location isn't even set in stone yet either. Maybe let's talk about some stuff that we're maybe a little bit more privy to at this point. We wrote something for the website along with Benedict Rhodes, our KMPL.ca contributor. Which team is best suited for a single site tournament, let's say? It's not necessarily a tournament, but it's a single site games, just like the Island Games. Which team is best suited? You picked Forge.
Yeah. So to kind of pull the curtain back a little bit, when we were putting this article together, I put together, you know, the kind of the start of it, and I was like, all right, well, if I do this, then I get first pick, which means I'm gonna take the low hanging fruit, and that's Forge, who, you know, until proven otherwise, is the best team in the CPL. And then you pointed something out to me. What was that, Marty?
Immediately in the group chat, I was like, "Oh yeah, you can pick the team that hasn't been able to train." Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, dude. That's fine.
Yeah. So that was a blow, but
you still pick Forge. So why
I took
Forge?
It back. I took it back and I thought about it again. You know what? I'm still okay with it. This team has just proven, you know, every time that they can kind of roll with those punches and they can get out of a block pretty quick. I mean, they had all of these kind of weird stop, start, sort of sometimes quarantine, sometimes training things throughout, you know, last fall when they were in the CONCACAF League, where the team spent a ton of time together. And I think they're just well equipped for that kind of tournament style. I mean, it's not a tournament, but you know, the single site, you see everybody 24 hours a day, that sort of situation. They're very familiar with that. Probably, I think by now the only club that might have passed them in terms of time spent together might be Atletico Ottawa, because they've just been in Spain for so long. But yeah, and I mean, on the football pitch, like, they're the best team in the CPL, and they added Tristan Borges, who was the best player in the first year of the CPL, and they've added Dejan Jakovic, who we'll talk about later. But man, like, it only goes up.
Yeah, well,
it only goes up.
And it's I went ahead and picked Cavalry just for kind of the same reason that you picked Forge, in a sense where, like, I think Cavalry's improved quite a bit. And you mentioned we should maybe talk about Dejan Jakovic in a little bit, because we also have another big signing from Cavalry to talk about, Joe Mason, who, you know, on paper anyways, this is up for some debate, but, you know, could be considered maybe the most high profile, you know, international, certainly, to join the CPL, something like 200 appearances or more in the English Championship, more if you include the English League One, where he joined from MK Dons. Like, he comes over as a striker who, again, we're doing a lot of foreshadowing, but he scored against Liverpool, which brings up your great lead line from your feature with him, and how many players have actually managed to do that. I just think that this team is so much more well-equipped, and the reason why they stumbled at the Island Games just because of injuries, right? Like, it's purely because of that. And especially how they were rallying out of the first round, and they looked quite good. And then, you know, they had, what was it, like 7 or 8 at the same time, you know, and there were big players missing. So as long as that doesn't strike again, then I think they're good. And then I also want to pick Pacific, because, you know, they've been together for as long as Ottawa were close to. And they also have pretty much the exact same team as last year, plus Manny Aparicio. So,
yeah, tough one. I'm excited to see Pacific play as well. It'll be an interesting team to watch, I think. And I mean, okay, Benedict picked Halifax as well, so.
Yeah, Halifax is an interesting choice. Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty clearly, again, like, the top four until proven otherwise. I'm just curious to see what happens with York, I suppose, as well. But we can get into that now that we actually have a season to talk about. Two big player signings this week. We already talked about it. Let's start with Joe Mason. You talked to him, and, you know, we got a little bit of his resume, but, like, you know, scoring against Liverpool in the 2012 FA Cup final, you just kept repeating that.
It was the League Cup.
Not FA Cup. And you just kept repeating that to yourself, like, in the group chat as well.
It's just bonkers. Like, I think it was 2012. I think that would make him of like 21 at the time or something like that. So imagine you're playing for Cardiff City at 21. You're in a championship, you get to the League Cup final against Liverpool, who, you know, they pull out, they start like Steven Gerrard and Luis Suarez and Jordan Henderson and Charlie Adam was on the pitch, I think.
I love that.
And like, it's just, you're at Wembley, it's packed. Joe Mason comes out in the 19th minute and just like hops on a ball behind the back line and nutmegs Pepe Reina. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and so
the
then
guy plays for Calgary now.
Yeah, so he goes on to have a pretty successful career, frankly, in the English Championship. Played for Wolves before they went up, and now look at that club. You talked to him about, you know, how he sort of got to Calgary.
Yeah.
Can you fill us in here? There's a great feature on the website, but just give us an idea of how this happened.
That was apparently a kind of weird one as well, and Joe was kind of honest about it. He's like, I don't even really know if I could tell you exactly how this happened, but basically it sounds like a while back, maybe around that 2012 sort of time, Joe Mason was on Cardiff with Cavalry's current goalkeeper coach, Jordan Santiago, who was kind of a backup goalkeeper for Cardiff at the time. And apparently Santiago was good friends with Cardiff's then kit manager, who now is the kit manager at MK Dons, where Mason was playing again. So apparently he'd kept in touch with Santiago, and they were talking, and somehow that ended up being Mason's agent kind of got in touch with Cavalry. And I guess Tommy Wheeldon Jr. gave him a call, and you know, now he's coming to Canada. So,
well, it was the lead line. What was it? Who, what does Gareth Bale, Eric Cantona, and Joe Mason have in common? They scored mm-hmm. against Liverpool in a cup final. Like, that is just absolutely bizarre. Yep. So did you maybe talk to him like a little bit about, and maybe you can editorialize here, like, you know, we already talked about it. He's one of the most high profile players to come to the league. Like, did that occur to him at the time signing? Like, does that, I'm just curious if that would even affect a player like that. Right.
Yeah. I kind of tried to poke at that a little bit, and I don't think it really, really registers necessarily. I was like, I kind of asked, I mean, you're probably at least one of the most high profile players here. Like, do you think you can come in and be the best player in the league? And he's like, well, I think everybody would like to be, which
yeah,
fair enough, I suppose. But yeah, I think he kind of, he's going to be maybe a quiet star in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to be a particularly flashy player, but he'll probably, you know, finish everything that comes his way. He'll be probably a really consistent player, and he'll be just, you know, kind of a top class kind of striker that maybe is a little hard to come by at times. So I think it'll be a really interesting thing to watch how Cavalry build their attack. I mean, it already looked pretty good, and then he's a guy that is almost certainly going to start in it. So I don't know how it's going to work.
Yeah. Well, and like Anthony Novak joining Cavalry, we should maybe talk a little bit about his road trip. We didn't cover that last week, right? Yeah. Cause you talked to him, We did. Yeah. The story came out though. What was your favorite part of it? Like, I liked how he said he just like jumped in the lake at one point. His car breaking down was funny. There's some good parts to it.
Yeah, the car breaking down was definitely the most panic part. he was very, very brutally honest with some parts of the drive after he got outside of Ontario.
we'll leave it there, right? Yeah.
Valor fans. Like, there just wasn't a lot going on the road.
Valor fans will be pissed off to hear that. Just kidding. He loves his breakfast sausages in Winnipeg, so.
He does.
Okay, Dion Jakovic was the other big signing for Forge FC. Again, like I wrote for this for the website, like, you know, as soon as this signing comes down, he's got 40 plus caps for Canada coming off of a couple decent seasons with LAFC, obviously helping them become, you know, what they are in the MLS in such a short time. And everyone's just like, oh yeah, David Edgar replacement.
Yeah.
Bang on. And it's almost a perfect like for like, right? It's, you know, he brings a lot of experience. He is quite a bit old. I think he's around 35, old for this league, I should say. I think he's the oldest player signed, like a new player signed in the CPL that we could tell. But I mean, the pedigree is there, right? And it's such a great addition for Forge. And again, continues, like you said, to make them a title contender, right?
Yeah, man. Like, it's almost as if you were to get like a bot or something to be like, okay, replace David Edgar. And it would just kind of scan all of the football players around the world and be like, who is, you know, who checks all the same boxes, you know, national team veteran, has played at a pretty high level, center back, obviously, pretty similar kind. The only name that comes up is Dejan Jakovic.
And you took my other lead for my column, which was going to be if you went to Football Manager and tried to put in all the information that would match David Edgar, he would pop up.
Like, pretty much. Yeah, like, if you were to like ask in a meeting, like, all right, we need to replace David Edgar. Who is the first guy that comes to mind? It's Dejan Jakovic. And they got him.
So. Yeah, and like a tons of great experience with the Canadian national team, right? Like, I think he was pretty underrated considering he would come in for, like, it was strange. I think he played like the 2009 Gold Cup, and then like 2013 and 2017, or maybe that was 2011. Anyways, he'd come in, but he'd play like the entire group stage, and I always liked him for Canada. I thought he was quite a good center back to have. Now, mm-hmm. he's going to be a great center back in the CPL. My only criticism is, and we've heard this from other people in the league already, is, you know, the age factor. Like, you know, and people are saying, well, you know what, if you're going to put a 35-year-old center back there, there are teams in this league that could punish you for that. So, I mean, what's your read on how he will be deployed? I don't think it'll be too much of an issue, but
yeah, I think when you put him next to, you know, a guy like a Daniel Crutzen who can cover that ground, I think he'll be okay. Because, I mean, David Egger certainly wasn't the quickest either, no. Right? And Yakovic, he's 35 at the moment, yeah? Mm-hmm. He has played, I mean, he played consistently in MLS for LAFC like a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A year ago, and, you know, pretty reasonably well there. So I think he's definitely not done yet. And I think Forge is kind of the rest of their team, especially the rest of their back line, has enough pace to be able to cover for him if he's just kind of the guy at the base of it, kind of anchoring the whole thing, which is basically what David Egger was tasked with doing. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I don't think it's too much of an issue. And again, now you have David Egger and Jakovic, right? Egger's still going to be on the sidelines. So tons of leadership with this Forge group. Okay, before we go, we got to talk about Matthew Baldesimo. This one dropped late on Thursday, called up to the Philippines national team. Mm-hmm. This is a pretty big achievement. Obviously, his brother played for Canada at the Olympic qualifiers and is also playing for the Vancouver Whitecaps. But like, yeah, congrats to Matthew. This is a big achievement, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, good for him. I mean, I think if you're Matthew, then you don't really want to wait around for Canada. And it sounds like it doesn't sound like he was waiting around for Canada or anything either. It sounds like this is something that he really wanted to do. If we just look at kind of the quotes that he gave about, you know, how connected he feels to the Philippines and through his family, it's really, really, I'm happy for him because he seems really stoked about the decision. He's going to get to go to play. I think they have a training camp in Qatar and then they're going to play their qualifiers in China, which is going to be just a really interesting experience, right? For a young player playing for your country. It's always good, obviously, in the CPL when players play for their country, no matter what that is, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's probably the prudent decision for him to get games at the international level, just because of him coming up at a time when Canada's pool is pretty deep. So I think just all around it's good news. It's a happy story.
From Victoria to Qatar to China.
It's a lot of flying. That's a lot of flying.
Qatar would be hot. Qatar would be hot right now.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Oh boy. And this is just warming up in Ontario here. Okay. We're going to have a lot more coming up here in the coming weeks. Again, middle of June to early July, the CPL is set to come back for 2021 season. And Charlie and I's dark times here at campl.ca are about to come to an end. We're really struggling for ideas. If anyone wanted to DM us like a story idea or anything, just let us know. We're an open book. Yeah, we're an open book. You know, it's been a long two off seasons combined. So we're ready for it to end. Okay, until then, we'll see you next week.